talked about this infamous movie against Islam, The Innocence of Muslims or Islam. That was a low budget movie that was produced in the US by a number of people. And that movie was released there and caused anger and protests worldwide. They tended to be violent in some countries like Libya. And the American ambassador to Libya was killed as a result of what happened in that movie. That was also broadcasted on the internet, and most of the people saw it and really didn't like what they saw. And the protests were a result to that movie. There were also cartoons that were published that followed that movie against the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in a French magazine. So those were a couple of instances and things that needed a pause or a halt by Muslims to stop and think. How are they going to react to instances like that? In what way are they going to protest? Because this is a reflection to our religion, to the Muslim religion, and also to our culture. In that issue, we have with us Dr. Ibrahim Negm. He's an advisor to the Grand Mufti of Egypt. Good morning, Dr. Negm.
He's going
to talk to us about those two instances.
Good morning, Dr. Negm. My first question to you is, what is your opinion of the whole scene that happened in reaction to the movie as a whole? Of course, it seems like people gave it more attention than it deserved, some people think. Mm-hmm. So what's your opinion on this, and how should Middle East countries, the Arab countries, and the Muslim population, how should they reacted to this movie?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Good morning. It's a real pleasure, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about this sensitive, delicate topic. We've been living in this kind of atmosphere for almost a little more than 2 weeks now, since the 11th anniversary of 9/11. So basically, we've been living as Muslims in this kind of episodes from a long time. So this is not the only incident, and it is not going to be the last incident. But as we're living in literally a global valley, something that happens in the remote parts of Japan, we know about it the instant it happens. So basically, this infamous movie that was released on the anniversary of 9/11, which is again playing with the sentiments of people because of this tragic incident that took place about 11 years ago, it was released, and it aroused so many reactions by Muslims and non-Muslims, and as you mentioned in the introduction, some of these reactions were unfortunately violent, and my assumption is the violence in Libya was not necessarily because of the protest against the movie. It was a political one. As we know that Libya has just emerged after dictatorship for so many years. So it was a political move rather than a violent protest against the movie. And later, these protests has erupted in many parts of the world. Some of them were unfortunately a bit violent, especially in Pakistan, where almost 16 people lost their lives. It was very unfortunate. And then we've witnessed a little bit of violence in Sana'a, in Yemen, as well as in Beirut. Here in Egypt, even though there was some riots here and there, but thank God we did not have violence in Egypt. My opinion is that as Muslims, we should stay away from reactions, and we should rather make initiatives and make preemptive and preventive measures. We've been sick and tired of reacting. You know, something happens and we react to it. And unfortunately, this reaction does not last for long. And then again, everything subsides.
And usually it's not the right one.
Yeah, and then something comes up again and then we react to it. So we should stay away from this vicious circle, from action and reaction, and we should make a plan, an organized plan, to make initiatives, long-term initiatives of engagement, of clarification, of explanation of what true Islam is really about. I'm hurt inside that unfortunately what remains in the psyche of non-Muslims, especially in America and Europe, is these type of reactions. They forget about the action, the actual movie or the cartoon depiction of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. What remains in the psyche of people is the reaction, and they forget about the action itself. So we have to devise plans, long-term plans of engagement, of reach out, to talk to them, to explain to them what Islam is really is all about and what the Prophet Muhammad is all about.
Right, Dr. Nigm, if we look at this incident, those two incidents from different angles, I understand that that happened with the commemoration of that saga of the 9/11. But also, don't you think that they exactly know there are well-educated people with a cultural background, I mean, from the West, that already know what is Islam, the reality of Islam? Don't you think that we should also put the blame, according to some political analysts who came up to say that, well, the United States have its share also in what's happening, because they, for a long time now, they have been acting as an incubator for the fundamentalists and the extremism and this type of culture, and they have been feeding it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a reaction to a long years of under the table policy that have been going through. So how do you think this is, if you can correct me?
I partially agree with you that there are a lot of people to blame, especially in my understanding, this whole saga, or this recent saga and the saga of 9/11 was political rather than religious. So politics played a major part in the making of these sagas, the past one and the recent one. But I am more concerned about lay people who do not know much about Islam. Of course, so many people are well educated, mm-hmm. but they know very little. I lived in the States for more than 12 years, studying there and teaching at the university and dealing with the community at large. I visited so many churches, synagogues, universities, lecturing, and I found that even though we are living in the information technology age, but this information technology age has made us ignorant of each other. We are at the mercy of now the computers and iPads and laptops, and we often take these tools as our window to the world. We lost the engagement, and that's why I think what is at risk now is that we have failed to engage the people, especially non-Muslims at large, the layman people. I understand that also political interest groups have a lot to be blamed because they have fueled the fire of this saga. But as a person coming from Dar al-Ifta and from Al-Azhar, I tend to blame myself first because we have not adequately engaged these people. We have not adequately done our homework of reaching out, of spreading awareness. I'm not so much interested in the other areas and the other fronts, because this is not my prerogative. My prerogative is to play my role in engaging people in raising their awareness about Islam. I understand that there are other areas that should be tapped as well, and the decision-making authorities should also make this a priority. Otherwise, we are verging into a clash of civilizations, as some of the political analysts have predicted a long time ago.
You're touching on a very important point, and that's the role of the Muslim world, and especially now the role of Islamic entities. What do you think the role should be now in reaction to this movie and in reaction to the ignorance that has risen according to Islam? So what should we be doing to transfer the good picture, the good depiction of Islam and Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him?
I think our role should be divided into two major roles. The first one is corrective, which basically to engage people. Whenever something inaccurate comes in the media, we should immediately take a measure by correcting it, by contacting this media outlet. And this is what we have been doing, actually. We have sent letters to the editors in many newspapers recently, because they have said something inaccurate about Islam and Muslims. So we have to be in the forefront. We should not wait around. Once something inaccurate comes, we should contact this media outlet, be it TV or print media or anything. Right away, we correct things. But it's still the major role that we should be playing is preventive, spreading awareness, reaching out, talking about the true Islam, because as you know, a layman would not distinguish what is credible teachings of Islam from the self-claimed teachings of Islam. So we have to be engaging more and more, talking to them, spreading awareness, and telling them that if you have a question, come to us. And that's why one of the unique things that the Grand Mufti did was to make a state-of-the-art website in Dar al-Ifta. It is www.dar-alifta.org in 8 languages.
Mm. Wow.
Okay. 8 languages, European as well as some of the Asian languages, because we have substantial Muslim countries in South Asia. So we need engagement, and we need to do more of awareness campaigns.
This is a really good start, though.
Yes.
8 languages.
Yes. We have to break the cycle of talking to ourselves. We have to talk to the people. We have to reach out. Our target audience is not 90 million Muslims and Christians in Egypt. Our target audience is 6 billion people. We have to broaden this vision. We have to understand that we are living in a global valley. We cannot just talk to ourselves. We have to talk to the people. We have to talk to the world at large.
Right. Dr. Nigma, let us go back to the layman in the street. That is a very important part of the picture. And if we take a flashback into other instance, similar instance, and with other problems like that, we remember Martin Scorsese did the movie The Last Temptation of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He imagined that Jesus Christ got married and had children, and then came Mel Gibson later on, several years, and he did that movie, The Passion of Jesus Christ, and
yes,
there was a very strong reaction from the Jewish community. And but the people, the world community received that with tolerance. But when this movie came, people did not receive it the right way, I mean, the world community. But let us be, frank and take things that look at reality and look at things as they happened. It was because the reaction was not proper.
I'm building on what Reem said.
What should be done on your part?
I beg to differ in this point, what you have raised that, in the other depiction of movies depicting the Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, why the reaction was tolerant and why our reaction is not tolerant. Because of three things. Number one, the other movies were real drama, were real art. But this
That's
is
true.
It's garbage. It's a piece of garbage, really. And without exaggeration, this is not my opinion. This is the opinion of experts in the entire world.
Right, it's clear that it's a very low budget movie. None of the actors are very serious. It's a mockery.
Okay, so that's number one. And number two, it's the difference in paradigm. In the West, there's a paradigm. Here, there is a different paradigm. In the West, the paradigm basically was into taking the sacredness out of everything. So the entire world, including scriptures, prophets, were regarded as something relevant, relative, not sacred. So, but here is still we have remnants of sacredness. We retain the sacredness. We view that the entire creation is a creation of God. We view that the line of prophets are regarded as the best model to be emulated. And we view the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, as an integral part of our Muslim identity. And
he is supposed to be.
Yes,
everybody should respect that.
Yes, it's a change of paradigm. What we have failed to convey to the Western people is basically this utter respect of our religious traditions and our religious symbols and our prophet, peace be upon him, and in this case, all the prophets, because any ridicule of a previous prophet is also a ridicule of our prophet. So we fail to engage them by explaining to them that yes, in your paradigm of thinking, you have succeeded a bit in taking the sacredness out of everything, including your religious scriptures, including your religious figures. But listen, guys, we have a tradition in which we utterly love our prophet more than ourselves. And any ridicule or any
offense
against our prophet is something that should not be taken lightly. So this is the second reason why the case is different. It's a change of paradigm. It's a paradox of paradigm, so to speak. The third reason is that, as you have mentioned, and also as you have mentioned in the introduction, it was an overreaction because of it was made or it was being politicized. So it is not the religious aspect that was in the making. It was rather the political aspect, especially the context in Libya. Which was the bloodiest because of Ambassador Kress was murdered.
Stephen.
Yes.
U.S.
Ambassador. Christopher. So basically, it was highly politicized. It was not a religious debate, and I still believe that it is more political than religion. My last comment on this part is that the majority of sane, wise people in the entire world are supportive of us. It is only a fringe minority who are making the noise. But unfortunately, this minority is taking the lion's share in the media outlets.
Mm-hmm. Really?
That's the problem. Mm-hmm. They take the podium. And what we are trying to do, and what His Excellency, His Eminence, the Grand Mufti of Egypt is trying to do, is to reach out in the Western media outlets. We have made a major interview with Reuters. Yesterday we made a major interview in the AP, Associated Press. And we had a piece published in the Washington Post, in Tagesspiegel, Spiegel, in Sonntagszeitung in Switzerland.
So that we can get our message
exactly
across to the world. Mm.
To the world.
That's what we're trying to do.
In their media outlets, not in the local ethnic media outlets where we are, again, talking to ourselves. We have to reach out.
Dr. Ibrahim Nigm, advisor to the Grand Mufti of Egypt, thank you so much for being with us. Unfortunately, we're running out of time, but it was a fruitful conversation. We really benefited from it.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And now we're going to go to a really quick break with Dina Yunus. She's going to show us around the Abydos Temple. We're going to find out what she has in store for us, and we'll be right back with more on The Breakfast Show.